Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of ChrisCast. My name's Chris Abraham, and today we're going to explore the concept of the glass jaw. Hey Google, what does it mean to have a glass jaw? Hey Google, what does it mean to have a glass J-A-W?
On the website idioms.thefreedictionary.com, they say, have a glass jaw, slang to be apt to be knocked unconscious by one's opponent.
So, I talk a lot about the concept of having a glass jaw. Does America have a glass jaw? Because it sure seems like the media portrays American democracy as this fragile thing. Does God have a glass jaw? Because it really seems like a lot of people, a lot of mortals, a lot of sinners, quote unquote, are sure rallying to defend him. And does democracy in general have a glass jaw? My question here, and I posit that nature, climate, Gaia, God, humanity, democracy, and America are a hell of a lot more durable than anybody wants to portray them. Even health is durable. Even people are durable. And I don't believe that any of the above mentioned have glass jaws at all. I feel like the desire to portray everything as so fragile is a way of driving hysteria. And that is the topic of this podcast. And I don't know, do I have any juice after that thesis, or is it just a several minutes long podcast? We'll see after the break. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 4 of ChrisCast. My name's Chris Abraham. I do not think that anything has a glass jaw. I believe that even people who cry for mercy, even people who virtue signal, even people who yell and scream about the traumas that they've experienced are a whole hell of a lot of more durable than any of that kvetching portrays. I believe that it's false sentiments. I believe it's lying. It's very similar to what a mama duck does in order to protect her ducklings. She will go skittering across the marsh pretending to have a broken wing, so as to distract and misdirect the enemy, whoever the enemy is, the predator, to distract him or her away from her brood. I don't know what you call hatchlings of a duck besides ducklings. Can you call them a brood? Hey, Google, what is the definition of brood, a brood, noun?
On the website merriam-webster.com, they say, 1. The young of birds hatched at the same time a brood of chicks. 2. A group of young children or animals having the same mother. Brood, noun.
Hey Google, are a group of ducklings called a brood?
On the website wideopenpets.com, they say, there are many names for ducks. If the group of ducks is in the water swimming, they are called a raft. A group of ducklings is called a brood when they're on dry land.
Yay! Smartness. Anyway, it's all messaging. It's all identity politics. It's all, hey Google, what is the definition of identity politics?
Here's the definition of identity politics: a tendency for people of a particular religion, race, social background, etc., to form exclusive political alliances, moving away from traditional broad-based party politics.
Wow, perfect word. Le mot juste. Hey, Google, what's the French word for phrase?
In French, you would say,
dis-moi.
Dis-moi. Dis-moi. Dis-moi. Hey, Google, how do you say the perfect phrase in French?
In French, that's
le parfait.
Ugh. Hey, Google, what is the word, le phrase?
Here's the definition of word: a single distinct meaningful element of speech.
Alexa,
or writing,
stop. Hey, Google,
used
stop. Anyway, I believe that, children are future. I believe that American politics with regards to Glassjaw is a lot like European football, a.k.a. soccer. A lot of Europeans are known for taking dives. A lot of them are known for faking injuries, grabbing for phantom Charlie horses and so forth, just to disrupt the game. I believe that this is done as a type of a distraction, like I said before, or misdirection, or even misinformation, as an attempt to draw compassion or pity from a population, to change the dynamic from predator to prey, or from victimizer to victim. And for whatever reason, we're going through a political intrigue that only values the victim, and victim culture is extremely well regarded. So if we can redefine our country, our politics, our religion, and so forth as being that of having a glass jaw, of being defenseless, vulnerable, not only easily corruptible, but very, very simply easy to put down with just a good punch, you can knock that democracy, knock that God, knock that anything onto the mat. And that by its definition is a glass jaw. I believe that's inauthentic. I believe this perception of the world as lacking durability is a big mistake, and also it's a bad infection, right? This belief, this rush to the bottom, this group dynamic, this group desire, this group hysteria that everything in the entire world is becoming more fragile, and here comes a helicopter to come get me. Can you hear it? It's a Black Hawk, definitely. It's coming to get me. Ha ha, hee hee, to the funny farm. And you know, it's just, nothing is that, everything strives to be healthy, everything strives to live, everything strives to heal. Everything strives to remain intact, and everything strives to survive and thrive. And I just really discovered that in a strong way with regards to my health. And if you heard a previous episode, you'll know about that. But I'll give you a little roundup after the next break, okay? Come on back. Season 2, Episode 4, Chris Cast. My name's Chris Abraham, and this is a story about my body and how I died for 3 minutes, and how my body is extremely resilient. Everybody's body is extremely resilient. Everybody's body desperately wants to live, and the only thing that can keep that from happening is something requiring more resources than can be recovered naturally, right? So in my case, it was heart failure. I had not treated high blood pressure for a long time, and then gained a lot of weight and became pretty sedentary and got a little bit of pneumonia, couldn't quite shake it. It resulted in edema, and my lungs started filling with fluid, and it just started like, and then I would move less often, and I would stand less often, and I would exercise less often, and I would get depressed, and then I would binge eat, and then I would, it was all a spiral to the bottom. It resulted in tachycardia, which is the super fast heart rate that is unsustainable. Not only is it too fast, which tires your heart out, but the quick beats aren't full beats, so it doesn't oxygenate your body well enough. And then I let that go on, and that tachycardia resulted in atrial fibrillation. Hey, Google, define heart failure.
Here's the definition of heart failure. Severe failure of the heart to function properly, especially as a cause of death.
Hey, Google, what is the definition of edema?
Here's the definition of edema. A condition characterized by an excess of watery fluid collecting in the cavities or tissues of the body.
Hey, Google, what is the result of fluid in your lungs?
On the website healthline.com, they say, pulmonary edema is a condition in which the lungs fill with fluid. It's also known as lung congestion, lung water, and pulmonary congestion. When pulmonary edema occurs, the body struggles to get enough oxygen and you start to have shortness of breath.
Hey Google, what are the symptoms of pneumonia?
According to Mayo Clinic, symptoms include cough with phlegm or pus, fever, chills, and difficulty breathing.
Hey Google, what are the symptoms of walking pneumonia?
On the website my.clevelandclinic.org, they say, symptoms of walking pneumonia include sore throat, feeling tired, chest pain, mild chills, low-grade fever, persistent cough that can be dry or produce mucus, sneezing, and headache.
Hey Google, what is the definition of tachycardia?
Here's the definition of tachycardia, an abnormally rapid heart rate.
Hey Google, what are the symptoms of tachycardia?
On the website mayoclinic.org, they say, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, rapid pulse rate, heart palpitations, a racing, uncomfortable or irregular heartbeat, or a sensation of flopping in the chest pain, and fainting.
Hey Google, what's the definition of atrial fibrillation?
According to Mayo Clinic, an irregular, often rapid heart rate that commonly causes poor blood flow.
Hey Google, what are the symptoms of AFib?
Here's a summary from the website heart.org. The most common symptom, a quivering or fluttering heartbeat. General fatigue, rapid and irregular heartbeat, fluttering or thumping in the chest. Dizziness, shortness of breath and anxiety, weakness, and more.
So all that stuff was happening, and I went to treatment, and I got medicine, and I got treatment. I had a cardioversion, which put my heart back into sinus rhythm after a few tries. I got onto an amazing medicine for me called Tycosin. I got a BiPAP, a CPAP BiPAP breathing sleep machine. I have four doctors. I've got a general practitioner, a cardiologist, an electrocardiologist, and a sleep doctor. And guess what? All of a sudden, without all that stress in my heart started to recover, and the edema on my legs ended. And you can see venousness, you can see veins in my hands and feet, and I'm not out of breath, and my body wants to recover, but the chronic stresses, the chronic comorbidities on my body, including the lot of extra weight, are making it impossible for my body's natural recovery symptoms to heal naturally. Now, this is the longest analogy in the entire world, but I dare say that the only glass jaw that America has, that the climate has, that God has, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are perpetrated by those same people, the same people who speak loudly about the glass jaws that American democracy and Western democracy and everything that America has, that a republic has, that a quote unquote democracy has, that God has, that women have, that African Americans have, that immigrants have, and so on and so forth, is being fed by the chronic anxiety, the chronic fear, the chronic neuroses, the chronic hysteria. These are all neurological brain comorbidities. And they result in so many secondary effects, such as overeating, overdrinking, alcoholism, depression, just anxiety, fear, dis-ease, just so many different things, right? So in other words, it almost seems like the messaging that espouses healing, the same messenger that warns of the glass jaw of all of these very durable, very rigorous, very durable aspects of our society and our culture are being harmed by the same doctor that's supposedly crying out these vulnerabilities. There are no vulnerabilities except for the vulnerabilities perpetrated by the people who are speaking of the vulnerabilities. It's a vicious cycle. On that note, let's take another break. Yeah, this is Chris, episode 4, season 2, Chris Cast. My name's Chris Abraham. So what are the world's comorbidities, right? The reason, first of all, I'm not 100% sure that I'm actually completely sure that the climate's not collapsing in 9 years. The world, Gaia, the Earth, nature, and so forth, is a very durable, adaptable thing. I mean, we've survived cataclysms after cataclysms after cataclysms. It's like It's like the ant infestation that I've had in the past. It's as if the ants are worried about me, right? It's if the ants are worried about the environment that I live in, right? Like it's just out of scale. We see how quickly systems turn back into stasis and into healing by virtue of just the several few months of stasis that we as a global culture made, right? Like from March until June, there was less flying, less driving, no commuting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot less boat traffic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it became an animal invasion. There is a desire, a hunger amongst the world, whether or not it's a competition. It's as simple as just Darwin 101, evolution 101. And not evolution, forget about evolution. The competition of species happens writ large amongst living animals in present environments, right? I just told my buddy Mark that I was watching Itchy. I was watching anyway, from Itchy Boots on YouTube, and she was sharing how committed the Dutch are to wildlife nature bridges. You know, they realize that their small little country doesn't have any spaces left for animals, so they make a big. They do things to try to make the animals in their country more viable, you know, to give them natural bridges through across which to move, to give them extra places to not be molested or disturbed, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that the glass jaw that the environment has is directly related to the amount of commitment that people are willing to give to local decisions. I believe that at some point, if you think the world, you hope that by saying the world is ending in 10 years, that you'll be able to move legislation and pass a Green New Deal. But the truth is that most people are like, oh, well, there's nothing I can do, so F it. I think that as a Gen X guy and looking at my parents and seeing what the world did between, you know, 1945 and 1985 in terms of restoring national parks and lowering greenhouse gas and lowering carbon monoxide in the air and helping the ozone layer. Just not only that, but also working on restoring polluted areas and trying to make a world where people of very little means aren't stuck behind the not in my backyard. Working on, you know, projects like reducing or removing lead from gas and requiring scrubbers on smokestacks and requiring limited access to, you know, creating unacceptable lawsuits and fees associated with dumping refuse or draining distillates or garbage into bodies of water, or just dumping garbage. A lot of these things happen, man. I mean, they probably still do. They've just probably gone dark. Or what we've done is just put them on barges and send them to China. But a lot of things have changed, and I believe that if you make it an existential crisis, like, first of all, there's nothing you can do if an asteroid is heading towards the Earth. And there's nothing you can do if in 9 years the world's going to collapse. And, you know, who cares if the climate's going to collapse, if we're all going to die from COVID? Or we're all going to die because of nuclear attacks, or war with China, or war with Russia, or terrorist attacks from North Korea or Iran. And, who is talking about these glass jaws? We'll talk about that after the break. Welcome to episode 4, season 2 of Chris Cast. My name is Chris Abraham. So, who's doing this, right? And I guess, hey Google, where's the quote from Follow the Money?
According to Wikipedia, "Follow the Money" is a catchphrase popularized by the 1976 docudrama film All the President's Men, which suggests political corruption can be brought to light by examining money transfers between parties. According to Wikipedia, "Follow the Money" is a catchphrase popularized by the 1976 docudrama film All the President's Men, which suggests political corruption can be brought to light by examining money transfers between parties.
Well, that was, I know I did that twice, but that was a mistake. However, it deserves being said twice, but I don't think that it should be limited to that. Who makes money, right? Who makes, you gotta see who makes, who's making the money and who's getting the power, who's getting the prestige. Is Anthony Fauci making money from coronavirus? Is who's making money from the Green New Deal? Who has potential to benefit as a result of transition from gas to natural gas to electric to solar to wind? I know that when I worked at Edelman Public Affairs, we spent a lot of time messaging on behalf of G General Electric and of Walmart, and our catchphrase was, "You can make green by being green, man." Like, a lot of it's the same thing with regards to organics or non-GMOs. You're being hustled a lot of the time. You can eat organic non-GMO garbage, and you can eat really healthy GMO non-organic fresh food. In the same way that you can be a completely obese, comorbidity diabetic vegan just by eating, only potato chips and cake, vegan cake or whatever. You can, it doesn't matter if you're doing the right thing wrong. And with regards to organics or non-GMO or solar or sustainable or we'll buy a tree or any of these things, there's a huge benefit to that. You want to hear it? You can charge premium for a perceived premium service. You can take what is considered to be oh, what is it called? Hey Google, what market are orange juice and pork bellies sold on?
I found a few grocery stores near you.
Hey Google, what trading are pork bellies and orange juice? Commodity
On
exchange.
the website investopedia.com, they say, "Pork bellies are literally the cut of pork from the belly of a pig." To many Americans, they became an icon of futures trading. On the website investopedia.com, they say, "Soft commodities, which include cotton, cocoa, orange juice, coffee, sugar, are now finding place in trading portfolios of active market participants as an alternate class of tradable securities."
I hope you guys are learning with me because I learn a lot. I don't even I'm even learning words that I know. Les mots justes. Commodities, yeah. So follow the money. Every processed food that has non-GMO or organic, any processed food that isn't literally an organic lemon, an organic orange, an organic piece of broccoli, or organic asparagus, lettuce, or greens. If they're not organic from the ground, the processed food isn't going to benefit you very much if it's organic and non-GMO. But you know what will happen? If you buy a cotton t-shirt that's organic and non-GMO cotton, you're going to pay a premium for that. If you buy a box of Wheaties that is organic and non-GMO, or as they say in Germany, BOBO, you are going to pay a premium for that. If you can convince people that you do something out of the goodness of your heart, hey, Google, define virtue signaling.
Here's the definition of virtue signaling: the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue.
Yeah, it's overused, but I still think that it's really important to remember that saying you're a good person and doing good are two different things. Oh, one thing I'm going to share with you after the break is going to be something I just discovered, and has a lot to do with the previous episode where I talked about the hypocrisy of people who say that they're doing awesome things in this world and in fact are sneaking around living in America like as if they were in prohibition times, and spending all their time in speakeasies. So I'll talk to you about that in a quick excerpt after this break. Welcome back, Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 4. So there's this dude who wrote a letter to No Agenda Show. Hey, Google, what's the latest episode of No Agenda Show podcast?
All right, playing the latest episode of No Agenda, 1309, Vaxaline, on Google Podcasts.
So, 1309, Vaxaline, dude wrote in and is like, hey, kings and queens, and he described himself as an African-American, American descendant of slavery, but this has neither here nor there to do with that, except he's a really cool dude. But he was saying how he's treated he lives in Washington Heights, New York, but he said that there's an entire, call me naive, right? But there's an entire black market, entire prohibition speakeasy version of everything that you could possibly need as a black king in Manhattan. There's a prohibition speakeasy barbershop underneath a store that's open. There's every night he could go to a speakeasy and shoulder to shoulder with his friends drinking and dancing. Bottle clubs, bottle bars, the club, dance clubs. There's a huge, huge number of below the radar versions of anything and everything you need if you know who to ask and you want to continue living an unmolested, unperturbed life in the time of coronavirus. I remember when I was cool, I knew Kiyoki, the DJ from Hawaii, who took the tunnel and all the cool 80s and 90s New York clubs by storm, and he was my in, and he would put me on the list and let me come in and be the nerd that I am, but in the coolest clubs. Nell's, I think he spun at. Red Zone, I think he spun at. Anyway, so these parties were licensed, they were open to the public and so forth. But if you were cool, you would go to after parties, and after parties were after were outlaw parties. They were outlaw. They were illegal. They were hidden in the back room. The only one I went to, the only after party. Sorry, it wasn't even an after party. The only underground party that I went to was in the basement of a Nathan's, or was it in the basement of a Baskin Robbins? Like, these places can pop up anywhere, right? They just you go in there. They're unlicensed. They're completely bandit and so forth. And apparently, this like black dude from Manhattan has his finger on the pulse, and so he's been flipping the bird at every single New York City law about not congregating, social distancing, wearing masks, restaurants, bars, clubs, dancing. I guarantee you that there's lots and lots of people who are celebrating mass and the Eucharist and choirs and so forth. Because my Christianity is, while it might be the number three or the number two or the number one biggest global church, it's still like it's just like America, right? America might be the biggest first world. It might be the biggest world superpower at the moment, but it identifies with being scrap revolutionaries. That's why we all have guns. We still feel like we're the ragtag of DL anti-royalists, revolutionaries who want to fight. We're the rebels. We're not the empire. We never ident only until only recently, Americans have never identified with being empire. I think we kind of do that now when Disney bought it, and you can go to freaking Disney World and Disneyland and see, stormtroopers running up and down the boulevard. But we used to, even as a big superpower in this late 70s, early 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, America self-identified with being rebel Jedis, these ragtag bands of potato sack wearing, impoverished, revolutionary, anti-establishment rebels. And so do Christians, right? The early church was the shibboleth church, where you hid and you worship secretly, using the symbol of the fish in order to let other people know that you were a member of the cult of Jesus. So, which was a Jewish sect, a Jewish cult. So that's going on. That's going on. I think that's going on all over the world, all over the you can't keep a social people down. I believe that I mean, we know for a fact that the rich people are doing this with aplomb, and and obviously there are lots of people who are doing it, and I think that I'm the most naive man in the entire world. And on that note, I'll be right back with the closing stuff. You know what it is. Talk to you soon. Hey there, episode 4, season 2, Chris Cast. This is about glass jaws. Hey Google, do you know any quotes about glass jaws? Hey Google, do you know any quotes
On the
about
website
GL?
goodreads.com, they say, you shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house, and if you got a glass jaw, you should watch your mouth, 'cause I'll break your face.
Woo, 50 Cent, 50 Cent. You shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house, and if you got a glass jaw, you should watch your mouth. Sweet. Because I'll break your face. That is the best quote ever. God bless 50 Cent. Hey, Google, what's 50 Cent's real name?
50 Cent's full name is Curtis James Jackson III.
You rock, dude. Anyway, my name's Chris Abraham. You can reach me at chris@abraham.su. My HQ is chrisabraham.com. My LinkedIn is Chris blah, blah, blah. LinkedIn.com/Chris/Chris Abraham. Sorry. LinkedIn.com/in/Chris Abraham. On Twitter, I'm at Chris Abraham. On Instagram, I'm at Chris Abraham. I'm not on Snapchat or TikTok, really. Feel too pervy on either of them. On Instagram, I'm at Chris Abraham. YouTube, I'm youtube.com/Chris Abraham. On noagendasocial.com, I am at Chris. At Garavik, Garavik.su, I'm at Chris. What else? You can text me or WhatsApp me at, or call me even at +1 202 352 5051. You can set up a date, a call date with me, via a tool called Calendly, calendly.com/Chris Abraham/30. Can have a 30-minute call or 15. Can have a 50-minute call. If you call or text me and I don't know who you are, then you probably going to leave a message and I'll get back to you. Same with WhatsApp. And that's it. If you want to contribute, you can come to anchor.fm/Chris Abraham/support. And you would really do me a solid if you went to like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, and all the other podcasting venues, wherever you do podcasts, and give me stars, give me comments, give me reviews, share on your social. And that's it. I have one 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and it was written by me. So go over there and shame me for it. Love you guys. Thanks for visiting. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Mahalo and ciao. Auf Wiedersehen. Tout à l'heure. Hasta la mañana. Hasta mañana. Hasta la próxima. Bye.